Welcome to the Learning Reinvented podcast, brought to you by myself, Katie Godden, and the team at The Learning Effect. There are lots of learning podcasts out there, so we wanted to do something slightly different. This week, we're discussing AI in learning and development. I'm delighted to welcome Dale Canning to the podcast. Thank you for joining me. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners, Dale?
Sure. Thanks, Katie. Dale Canning, I'm a senior learning strategist, and I do a number of things in corporate learning and development. Been in the business for my entire career, starting way back in the days of interactive video disc, and I'm a former owner of a custom e-learning development company, a language translation company as well, and now I'm a consultant in corporate learning and development, and I do things all along the continuum from creating content, scripting, writing. I also do the strategic work that helps to define for a corporate entity what their learning tech stack should be. And if they already have that tech stack and they're migrating into it, how does that all work? And so that's sort of the full picture of what I do. I do a lot of stuff tactically, but I do a lot of stuff strategically as well.
Thank you very much, Dale. So we're talking about AI today, and there's lots of talk in general about AI. What got you interested into AI and learning and development in the first place?
Well, having been in learning technology for my entire career, it just seemed natural, and certainly in the more recent history of our cultures in general, AI has started to play quite a role, quite a large role, and it's interesting to see how quickly the AI applications have caught on in L&D, and it's really fun to see some of the things that can be done now. That can be done at scale, for example, all of the people rather than individuals, that make it a really exciting area. So I was just I'm a lifelong learner. I think most people know this, that it's the next big thing, if it's not already the big thing, and it's good for us to know all we can about it, because you won't be replaced by AI. You'll be replaced by somebody who knows how to use AI.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. Like the capabilities that AI open up are immense. So I understand that you represent a few companies in regards to AI. Could you explain a bit more about what they do?
Yeah, I can explain to you about that. And thank you for mentioning that, because I do want to make sure that everybody knows that some of the companies that we're talking about here, part of what I do in learning and development is I represent companies who have various different applications. Some of the companies that we'll talk about in this little explanation are those companies. And I'll just begin by talking a little bit about a company called Interflection. They're in New Jersey, and obviously you can hear in my voice that I'm in the United States. So these companies tend to be U.S. Companies, but they are certainly available worldwide with their applications. Interflection is in Princeton, New Jersey, and what they do is it's a natural language processing AI app that is mobile based. And basically what it does is it enables you to have a conversation with a video recorded avatar. That avatar is explaining a problem to you and asking you what your response is to it. And you talk into your phone as if you were on a FaceTime session or WhatsApp or something like that. And it takes what you said and it parses everything that you said, and it will give you feedback on the things that you said to that person about their problem. So you can look for this to be popular in various different areas of corporate learning, certainly in people who need a pitch coach for sales, people who need a coaching in DE&I or in leadership. All of those topics are available to be placed into the Interflection app. Now, let me be clear about that. There is no canned content for Interflection. This is a custom development app, and you can develop applications in the way that respond in the way that I described using the app. So that's Interflection, and really pretty exciting and pretty fun. They use AI obviously to parse what you said. And to give you the feedback that you're looking for.
That sounds really interesting. And I think you described obviously using it for a sales tool in your example. And I can really see the benefit of doing that. And it's interesting to see the new technology that is available, because obviously we've kind of got more video based content and stuff like that, which not has replaced, but it goes alongside the blended journey of online training and face-to-face training. So I think this is definitely the new thing that's going to come out of that.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, with the Interflection app, there is a video production that has to occur in order to set scenarios up and to present the learner with a scenario. But with the advent of companies like Synthesia that does video, you provide them text and you select an avatar and they give you the video back. That video production process can be really can be a much less expensive sort of a thing. So it's kind of layering of AI capabilities there to get this kind of product out there at the lowest cost possible. The next one that I'll talk about, and this one is a feedback provider as well. It's actually a gamified. It's an interactive movie-based and gamified assessment of leadership skills, and it's the company is called, or the application more accurately is called Fligby, Fligby, and I think we'll have these websites available afterward. Is that correct, Katie?
Yeah, that's correct. We'll put them in our show notes below.
Very good. So what Fligby does is presents to the person who's being assessed a scenario. You become the general manager of a winery in California, happily. And what your job is as the manager of the winery is to take your team from the spring of the year to the autumn of the year when the harvest happens and the Spirit of the Wine Award comes out. So you have a team of people who are basically not in agreement on most things. So they give you a lot of problems to solve. And in fact, with Fligby, what you're doing is you're solving, you're making decisions 150 times for them to assess how you made that decision. And at the end of the game, and of course, there's the feedback that you get about whether or not your team is moving along in the way that they should. But there's also an assessment and a report that comes out at the end of the game that will tell you how you did on 29 different leadership skills. So it'll give you a visual and a numerical mark on how you did in that. And it's a really useful thing for people to understand their leadership qualities and not necessarily how they might act if they took a Myers-Briggs test or if they took a LIFO test or something like that, or DISC assessment. Those tests are for testing your personality type, if you will, and sort of imply how you might act. The Fligby game with these 29 skills that it's assessing tells how you did act in a particular scenario. So it's really useful in that way. And it's been around for a little bit, actually. The AI in it has been updated, but Fligby's been around since 2011. And they still have, and it's still a viable thing out there, although they have moved on to some more modern interactive movies to use.
I really like scenario-based training because I think that helps with things like the soft skills, because I think it's really easy to sort of train processes because we can use screen recording, we can use video, we can use PDFs, etc. So we've got a lot of collateral, but to be able to train that those soft skills, especially kind of via online rather than in person, is quite difficult to do. So I think that's really good that you're able to get the feedback, etc., from the decisions that you're making, so you know that you're doing it right, essentially.
Yes. And again, the thing that is true about Fligby and Interflection is that heretofore you have consultants, for example, in leadership. In the case of Fligby, there are a lot of people out there who are leadership coaches, And they all tend to operate, I don't want to make that sort of generalization, but a lot of them will operate at the C-suite level. So the CEO, CFO, whoever's in that level, or, you know, some other similarly high-ranking people get the leadership training. And they get assessed on their leadership qualities. A lot of that has to do with the logistics of presenting that kind of training. If you're a leadership coach, you want to get down to the rank and file, if you will, but typically your rate and your bandwidth are limiting factors for you to do that. What Fligby allows you to do, and Interflection for that matter, is for you to create content that can be put out, and these decisions are made by the learner in the tool. They get the feedback, and it can be done at scale. You can train as many people as you want, or you can assess as many people as you want. It's really going to, I think, be a magical way to get people all on the same page from the perspective of leadership, business objectives, et cetera, et cetera. And when you start to see that growing within the lower echelons of a company, that's when you're really going to see the training that they took have a bottom line effect that's very positive.
I can definitely see the benefit, and I completely agree with you that training isn't necessarily as accessible, especially at that sort of level. So it's really great that you're able to provide that.
Yes. And since we're talking about scaling and things that are using AI out there, there's another company. And again, this is one of the ones that I represent. The company name is Gleak. That's GLEAC. And they're actually based in Dubai in the UAE. And what they provide is experts as a service and some blended learning solutions from some really great mentors, coaches, and experts who will fractionally come in and spend time with your team. So if you're a corporate manager who wants to talk about various different learning opportunities in here and various different experts because you want to take on a new area of business, what can happen with Gleak is that you can access their experts, who some of which are, you know, Fortune 500 C-suite level people themselves, a lot of PhDs, a lot of masters, people who are in sustainability, DE&I, IT security, oil and gas, you name it, they're all over the place. There's 1,500 of them available through Gleak. And along with those experts, there are also micro learning and practice sessions that are available in the subject area that you're there to look at. So a really interesting way to not only scale the learning and get it out there to the most people that you can, but those people have access through this tool to some of the great experts in a given business area in the world. So it's a really, really interesting and I think going to be a very popular way to access a tool that provides, there's AI in use throughout the Gleak tool relative to, you know, your selectability, the thing that you need to get to. The micro practices use AI in assessing where you are, all kinds of AI in Gleak. And I think it's going to be a really exciting product out there.
So just so I understand, so they have access to content, training content, and they also have access to experts as well.
Correct. And an assessment at the front end of it, and micro learning sessions that are, you know, electronically delivered.
Oh, wow. So can you set that up in your own organization potentially as well? So you create your own content and have your own experts but use that technology that's behind that?
Yes, you can. They do have a white labeling agreement that they have for, you know, folks who want to do just that. If you want to label it yourself, you know, with some sort of branding that's still there, you know, powered by Gleak, for example. But the rest of it is your brand.
I think that's something that's really powerful, because there's a lot of need at the moment and a lot of talk as well, but amongst people that we speak to in regards to kind of mentoring. So I can definitely see the advantages of using that.
Yeah, and it's going to be important not only in corporate America, but also in higher well, in corporate world. Sorry to be so U.S. centric. That's where I'm sitting. But the it's going to be very important for higher education as well. When you think about the all of the executive MBA programs that are out there, if that executive MBA program could access through these technical means these experts, it's going to be a huge benefit for them. And actually, there are flavors of it and options in it that allow it to be used in secondary education. So, you know, school kids in their teenage years who would have access to content and experts in ways that they couldn't have dreamed of prior.
That sounds great. So, have you got any other companies that you represent?
Yeah, I'll talk about another few here. One of them that I represent again is a company called Augmenteer, and Augmenteer is very interesting because it's not, well, there's training in it, but it is really electronic performance support, and it's for the connected worker who happens to work in the machine maintenance, installation, manufacturing. So it's that sort of training where you want to bring people up to speed. And so, for example, if you were a service rep and you were using your device, Augmenteer connects you to all of the content that you need in order to install or repair or maintain that device. So if you were in doing HVAC, and you know, air conditioning systems at a you know, large level, Augmenteer would reside on your tablet or your laptop, and you would take it up to the machine. There would be maybe a QR code or some other sort of a bug on the side of the machine. You would scan it, and boom, you have all of the information that is available to you for that machine. And that includes not only training content, which is helpful, of course, but also all of the other data about the machine that is available in the system. So you know, real-time data is available to you through the app, and then the company that is sending you out there, in order to make sure that they are paying everybody well and you know, getting the benefits of those people out there that they would like to have, they are gathering up huge amounts of data about the service call or the installation or whatever it is that you're there for. And that helps people to quantify something. And in corporate America in particular, in those areas where you're talking about installation and maintenance and that sort of thing, they're very, very cost conscious. It's not a profit center for them generally. It's an expense center. So they're trying to make it as inexpensive and efficient as possible, and do it actually with as few people as you can. So Augmenteer uses AI in a way of, you know, presenting the content and the right procedure to the worker that they need in a given scenario based on the data that they have they've gathered. So, and let's make this point too about data. Data is king in AI. There's a huge untapped amount of data already. But most of these apps that we've talked about today are gathering data, and they're gathering data to make it part of a large language model, or they're, you know, teaching their AI, or they're doing something with it that is previously unavailable to the person, the organization that has purchased their application. And the ways that people are going to use that are it's going to be very interesting to see what those people can do, what those organizations can do with the data that's going to come in as a result of AI.
I can really see the benefit, not just in sort of the installation market that you were talking about, but kind of process driven fields and industries. I can definitely see the benefit of having such a tool for that, because it must cost a lot of money for companies having to kind of liaise between different departments, etc., and to find that resolution. So I can really see the benefit of that, and it's amazing to see and think how far this technology can go and take companies and their expenses that it can cut. And like you said, that I don't think it will necessarily replace people, because you need to know about the AI, but how important it is to keep up to date with that technology.
Absolutely. So let's talk about another couple applications that are sort of on the development end of learning and development, tools that might be used in developing things that we present to our learners. I'm gonna talk to you about two of them. One of them is Galileo.ai. And if you take a look at Galileo.ai, what they are using is AI to help developers to create user interfaces. And so I think if you think about what's out there in the GPT land, there are lots of different apps now for generating artwork. This is a little bit more of an organized take on it, where what they're doing is helping you put together a really slick user interface. So take a look at Galileo.ai if you want to learn more about that. I do not represent them, and I don't know a huge amount about what they do, but it's pretty easy to see that if you're an instructional designer or a learning experience designer, and you have the task of putting together an interface that's going to be appealing, then it might be a great tool to take a look at.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. And I think, again, it's something that can really help people and saves a lot of time and money, doesn't it? Because you're not necessarily having to rely on graphic designers and things like that if you've got that tool to be able to support you with it.
Yeah, and you're going to get, world-class results. You might have to tell you, like anything GPT, you're going to have to do some tinkering with it. You're going to have to make sure that it says things that you want it to say, but presents things that you want to present. But the ability for AI to take us, and in particular these chat GPTs sort of oriented ones, the ability of AI to take us from 0% content to 85% content that we just have to edit is really, really strong. I mean, that's the whole value proposition for us, right? We just put in the kinds of ideas that we're thinking about, and it spits out all kinds of information that's useful to us in putting together a deliverable of that type.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. And I think AI can really help support learning and development teams within organizations, purely because of what you've just said. Like, it's not replacing their jobs, but it's taking a large time, a lot of their time away from having to do research, etc. You're able to kind of input that information, get the information out that you need. But then, like you said, you can tweak it and edit it, but you can also personalize it. So if you need to put in your own policies and procedures, enables you to be able to do that as well, which I think is just amazing. And I think people should really be taking up on that.
So the last company that I want to talk about is called Hume.ai, and it's H-U-M-E. This is a really interesting one. It's a little bit of a reach to think about its implications in learning development, but I think that there's somebody that's going to probably figure out how to use it in perhaps even in the way that I'm describing. But what Hume.ai does is for recorded sessions somebody on their webcam, or however you get that person's face to be available to Hume AI. What it will do, and it does this in sort of real time. If you go, you'll see what I'm talking about. If you go to the Hume.ai site, it takes a look at the face of the person on the camera, and it judges what their emotional state is. Are they angry? Are they happy? Are they surprised? What have you? So it's a really sort of an interesting thing to have available to judge what people are thinking about whatever it is that you're delivering. And I think this is a little bit of a stretch, but just sort of spitballing a little bit, just think about how it might be useful for an instructor, a virtual instructor who is interested to know how everybody's receiving what he's putting out there, he or she is putting out there. Sentiment, I think, is the thing that is detecting most, and how people are feeling. And so there might be some interesting applications of that, or applying it to other business situations or what have you, so as opposed to making it a product that might be interesting for purely for learning and development evaluation purposes. What it'll also do, and there are a number of different applications out there now that do this, is it will interpret your expressive communication. If you write something and put it in there, or if you say, hey, I want to send this email out, but I think I sound a little angry in it, or I think I sound a little bit terse. You can plunk it into the Hume AI app, and it'll tell you exactly the sorts of emotions you're sort of throwing off with your communication. So pretty interesting in that way too, and perhaps a little bit more oriented to learning and development from the perspective that you can think of situations where that sort of thing can be used to again give someone feedback and give that feedback at scale.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that one before actually, and I think that can definitely be used in regards to learning and development, but I think with a bit of caution perhaps, purely because you don't want to just be basing people off what AI says, even though I'm sure a lot of it is accurate, but I'm always a bit cautious about those sorts of ones. So obviously you're clearly passionate about AI. Where do you think AI could possibly go in the future? Because obviously this is a relatively new thing and the possibilities seem endless, and we're seeing lots of new technology and capabilities with this technology. Where do you think it could go?
I think that that AI has the capability to really make some really high quality content and some really high quality ways of presenting that content to learners in the corporate world. I'm seeing in some of the work that I do some work for a large pharmaceutical and medical device company that is adopting a new learning ecosystem, and they have taken the tack, and rightly so, of highly personalized learning, and using AI at the front end of that process to assess what a person's aspirations are, what their career aspirations are, and to therefore build a learning journey based on those aspirations. Here, if you're at this point right here, and you want to be the CFO, if you're in the mailroom, you want to be the CFO. Here's the learning path that you need to be on to do that. So I think that's an awesome aspect of it, and I think that it's absolutely unknown the things that we will think of to apply AI to in learning and development. And I'm just really excited about being along for that ride, even at the sort of the tail end of my career, although I'm happy to continue working. It's and this kind of work in these kinds of applications is really exciting and fun to stay abreast of.
Yeah, and I think they can all be applied to our everyday life as well. It's not just the kind of corporate world and L&D. I think AI is coming up more in conversations in general, kind of when you're talking to family and friends, people are becoming way more aware of it. But obviously, unless you're working in that sort of world, I think at the moment where you're potentially using it and incorporating that into your everyday role, it's a bit more difficult to understand the potential. And I can understand why people are a bit more afraid of it if they don't really understand it. Because they can't see the positives out of it. They can just see, like you said, and we've spoken about previously, is that it could potentially take away my job, and people worry about that. So I think I have no idea where AI will go, but I think as we start to use it more and it becomes more incorporated in our work lives and then into our everyday lives, I think then we'll start to see the more potential with it. And then, like you said, God knows what it's going to be.
Yeah, and there's plenty of it that happens under the hood. A lot of the stuff that that we've talked about here today, across these companies, it's not the ChatGPT model where you are, you know, putting something in and getting something out that that you designed, or I suppose it could be, but most of the AI that we've talked about in these apps is happening under the hood, and a person wouldn't even know that they are interacting with something that that is applying AI. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, yes, we have this stuff that's public facing, that everybody sort of equates AI with now, you know, ChatGPT, because that when that hit the streets, everybody went crazy. But a lot of these other organizations are using AI in a little bit more subtle a way. You know, I think there's huge benefits to be reaped on all sides.
No, I definitely agree with that. You've sort of spoken about your kind of next moves for the future, but what is your future looking like, Dale?
Well, I'm on a contract now until June, and between now and then, obviously, I'm continuing to formulate plans, sales and marketing plans for the companies that we discussed today that I represent. You know, doing the prospecting and moving those along. So I expect that's going to continue to happen. As I said, my strategy job that I'm doing right now is coming to an end in June. And I will probably shift over full time until, you know, something else that interests me pops up and I take a crack at that. It's really, because I have the sort of the depth and breadth of experience and knowledge about corporate L&D, I can plug into a lot of different areas. So that's been a really exciting aspect of my entire career. Always something new to learn, and always something new to do.
That sounds awesome. And it sounds like you've got lots to look forward to in the future as well. I think we could talk about AI for a while, Dale. There's lots of possibilities with that. But we'll draw this episode to an end. So thank you so much for joining me. If people want to get in touch with you and find out a bit more about yourself and the companies that you represent, how do they go about doing so?
For the companies I represent, I tend to have an email address for each one of those, and I can supply that post this podcast on whatever media you post those things on. But you please do hit me up on LinkedIn and connect with me.
Thank you very much again, Dale, for joining me. And we will put those email addresses and the links to the companies that you spoke about in our show notes below. So thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Learning Reinvented podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've not already done so, please follow our podcast. And if the Learning Effect can help you and your organisation, please do get in touch. You can find both James and Katie on LinkedIn, and our contact details are in the show notes below.